Morning. Yes, we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Dan shared with us the works of the Holy Spirit. One of the primary purposes of the working of the Holy Spirit is convicting hearts so that people will come to the Lord. And as you read the scriptures more and more, there's a lot more to look at in terms of the works of the Holy Spirit. And we'll cover some of that later on. And today what we want to talk about is being open to the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Now, there's two passages that I want to read from. One is from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, and Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Hear then the word of the Lord. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even to Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Then Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. On the Sabbath, he went outside in the city gate to the river. We were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, as we open up your word, may you speak to us through your word and through your scripture, that you, Holy Spirit, is the one who convicts. You're the one who moves our hearts. So help us, Lord, through your word, to be the person that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we have these two passages, and these two passages are reference to how the Holy Spirit works. The first person is Cornelius, and Cornelius is a centurion, and he's in Caesarea. And a centurion is like a captain of a Roman garrison. They're a commander. And he is known to be a man who practices good works and who is full of goodness to the people, has a good reputation. One day as he was praying, he sees the vision of an angel. And an angel tells him, "Hey, send a few men to this person by the name of Peter. He's in Joppa." Now, the next day, Peter, they don't communicate. He's up on the ceiling, on the rooftop praying. This is in Acts chapter 10, and as he's praying, he becomes hungry, and then he sees this tray. And in this tray is food that Jewish people say is unclean. If you are considering Jewish diet, you cannot have crab, you cannot have lobsters, you cannot have pig. You know, they're considered to be unclean. So he's seeing all these animals in his vision, and the word of God is saying, "Eat," three times. He says, "But it's unclean." And the Lord says, "It's clean, eat." And right after he's done with the vision, three men from Cornelius who've been sent by him come and visits Peter and tells him about what Cornelius told him to do. And then Peter knows that it's the Lord. And then he goes down with them to Caesarea. And while he's there, and you got to understand, for a Jewish person to associate with a Gentile is known to be taboo. But he is going under the commandment of the Lord. And while he's there, he's preaching. And this is what happens. While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came, and the people started speaking in tongues. Now, what is this tongues? The scripture doesn't say specifically. The Bible says there's three types of tongues that as I shared with you before. One is a known language that's mentioned in Acts chapter 2. The other one is in Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, where it's a gift of interpretation or private prayer language. We don't know what kind of language is spoken, but they're speaking in tongues and praising God. Now, here's a mistake of some schools of thought, like Pentecostalism, believe that if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got to speak in tongues. That's my interpretation. That's incorrect. The Bible never says that. But these people are hit by the Spirit, and they're experiencing God. So in a modern-day situation, if you can experience supernatural experiences, which we never thought we would do, so for some of you, you might be speaking in tongues without knowing. And you go, what is that? And we're very fearful of that. And instead of fearing, if it is the Lord, be open to allow the Lord to work. Be open. Now, another incident is the situation of Lydia, Acts chapter 16. Paul comes to Philippi, and all he does is preach the word. And then upon hearing the word, she becomes a believer. You know, the Bible says faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. And does Lydia's faith be inferior to Cornelius? The answer is no. It's the way they responded to the Lord. Cornelius naturally, with his family, responded to the Lord in a very supernatural way. And then in Lydia's case, it was just hearing the word of God, and she became a Christian. I think both are supernatural. We just don't think it is. But the word of God has power. And as we look at these ways, what we want to explore today is how we need to be open to respond to the diverse ways and varied ways the Holy Spirit works. And what we need to understand is the Holy Spirit works in diverse ways. To get this more in context, God's ways are not your ways. So let's look at Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts. So basically, God's thoughts, the way he thinks, what's logical to you might not be logical to God. What is logical to God might not be logical to you. His thoughts and your thoughts are totally different. And his ways, the way we want to see God work, might not be the way he works. You know, sometimes we ask, why doesn't God answer certain types of prayer? Is the way he works is totally different than the way you expect God to work. So don't put God in a box. And the distance of our thoughts and his thoughts is from the earth to the heavens. That's how big of a distance it is. But God has revealed Jesus Christ to give us a glimpse of the way he thinks. And we are created in his image, and we can see the glimpse of the way that God thinks and God works. And so we need to understand that. And so if you ever want to have an experiential encounter with God, don't expect always a supernatural experience. It could be rational. You know, when we look at Elijah, he went to the Lord to pray at Horeb, Mount Horeb, because he was fearing for his life. Was God in the earthquake? No. Was he in the wind? No. Was he in the fire? No, it was in the silence. God was there. And so why does the Lord do this? Why does the Lord work in a varied way or in a diverse way? It's partly because God made us unique and different. There is no one like you. Would you agree? There's no pastor soon in the whole wide world like me. There's no one like Pastor Dan. There's no one like you. And the reason why he made you so unique and different is we're a reflection of God's image. And each one of us respond differently because we're unique and different. So because we're unique and different, we respond to God in a very different way. So the way we see things. Let's look at this image. I learned about this image when I was a freshman at UCLA taking psych, introductions to psych. They call it Psych 10. I don't know if they have that title anymore, but it's introductory course. Look at this image. What do you see? How do you guys see an old hag? How do you guys see a beautiful young woman? How do you see both? Isn't it interesting, at first glance, some of you see an old hag first, some of you see a beautiful young woman, and some of you see both. You see how diverse God has made us at first image? Now, the way we think, We think very differently. Some of us who are trained in the Eastern world, they think circular. The Western world, we use the logical method, A, B, C, therefore D. And so I want you to look at the squares. Okay, how many did you see? How many squares do you see? 16, 20, 21 squares. How many say 16? How many say 20? How many say 21? Okay. What is the correct answer? The correct answer is whatever we saw, because the question wasn't how many squares are present there. Well, what did you see? It's the way we see things, or even the way we eat. I'm a connoisseur of food, and I heard from my friend that she went to Mali, and one of the delicatessen is eating rats. You guys want to have rats? You go to Thailand, there's bugs that people eat. Some parts of different parts of the world have different tastes. And how many here like steak and eggs? Yeah, how many guys like Mexican food? How many guys like kimchi? How many guys hate kimchi? How many guys like jellyfish? How many guys like spam musubi? How many guys don't like spam musubi? All of us have different tastes and likes. Isn't it true? And so we cannot please everybody. So we're very diverse in the way we eat. And also interests, we have different interests. How many guys like fishing? Sailing. How many guys like, eating, watching YouTube videos about people eating? My favorite person is known as the Black Widow. She's a very skinny woman, but she eats like crazy, really well in the eating contest, especially Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So I might like it, but you might not like it. Or some of you might like driving, but some of you don't want to drive. Some of you want to stay home. My wife and I always fight. I like to go out to a restaurant. She hates going out to a restaurant. She strives every day to battle with me to eat at home. She cooks for me all the time. Not all the time, but I convinced her last Friday to go out with me. So each one of us has different likes, different hobbies. And what this says to us is we respond to God, especially to the Holy Spirit, in a very diverse way. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves, there's what we call, for some, physical manifestation. In this passage, we see the people speaking in tongues. And instead of freaking out, that because it's weird, it's unusual, it's new, know that it's God working, because he works in a very different ways than you do. And so openness is to say, that's God working. If you look at in the passage in Acts chapter 9, some people fall. Acts chapter 24, 14, This is Paul giving a testimony about how he became a Christian when he was blinded by the light. He says, we all fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Now, this is blindedness. You get hit by the light, you fall. But also there's experiences where people fall. When they get prayed after, a lot of people say, why are you pushing me? I said, I'm not pushing you. Open your eyes, see where my hand is. And sometimes we fall. And the question is, why do we fall? The Bible doesn't have really specific reasons why. But what I know from experience how the Holy Spirit works is sometimes to ask us to be in submission to him. That's why we fall. Or sometimes we experience the power of God is so powerful we physically fall. Or some of us quake and shake. Now, how many guys ever heard about the Shakers and the Quakers in church history? Do you know why they were called Shakers? Because they shook in the presence of God. And the Quakers were known as people who quaked, when they experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it is true, a lot of times this does happen. Or some people have what we call uncontrollable laughter. Jonathan Edwards, one of the revivalists who was former president of Princeton University, wrote this way, their joyful surprise has caused their hearts as it were to leap, so they were ready to break forth into laughter. tearing often at the same time, issuing like a flood and intermingling a loud weeping. This is, you know, very academic person. The revivals in New England, all he did was read a sermon and people were having physical manifestations. Or some would have visions and dreams. Now, the question is, if I don't shake, if I don't have visions, if I don't speak in tongues, does it make me less spiritual? The Bible never says you're less spiritual. This is the way people respond. So some people, did you hear the phrase? Some people, not all people, some people respond through physical manifestations. But other people do not respond physically. Sometimes they're convicted in their heart. Just like Lydia hearing the sermon, she becomes a Christian. Or if you look at Acts chapter 2, 37, when people are wondering, what are these 100 people doing speaking in our own languages, speaking in tongues? And it says here, when the people heard this, Peter's sermons, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? That means they were convicted. Or some, we can just feel inner peace, inner joy. Or some, we don't really experience much manifestations, physically or internally, but we just know God is there. This is how God made us. You know, some people are touchy. My daughter thinks I'm really touchy. And some people are not. We're just built that way. And same with the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Some of us will have physical, some of us won't. But that doesn't make you more spiritual than other people. Your spirituality is based on your relationship and your heart with God. It's not the manifestations. It's not speaking in tongues. Your faith is based on your walk with the Lord. And so, knowing this, this is the way God works, there needs to be openness to the Holy Spirit. And the first source we need to be open to is what the Bible says about what the Lord does and what the Lord has done in our lives. Starting out with creation story, the flood, the splitting of the Red Sea, healing people, Jesus working in the lives of people to bring people from the dead, to raise them up. Elijah raising a dead woman's son to life. All this is doable. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. If that's true, we too, if we believe what the Bible says is true, we too can exercise that in our faith. A lot of times, because we live in a logical world, we have a hard time believing what the Bible talks about, supernatural acts. Jesus, you know, breaking bread and feeding 5,000 people, sometimes as a myth. But that's not true. If we have faith in the Bible, those things that occurred in the Bible has occurred and will occur even now. Do you believe that? Because we look at John chapter 14, 12, if we take that to heart, Jesus says this, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father." What does Jesus promise when he goes to the Father? Because we have the Holy Spirit, you will do greater things. So what Jesus is empowering you to do is to heal people. And you can say, I don't know if I can heal. Well, have faith. If Jesus worked yesterday, he can work today. You will do greater things. Do you believe that? This is leap of faith to believe. It doesn't mean to be blind, but to look forward to what God is going to do. Even the Bible says this in Joel 2, 28 to 32. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. You will, if you're open, see dreams. I heard numerous people who had dreams of Holy Spirit encounters. I had situations where people talk about prophetic words that have come true. You know, it's amazing what God can do if you're open. And the Bible says that would happen. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So what we need to understand is what the Bible says is going to be true and apply it. Ask God to give you a dream. You guys ever pray to ask God for a dream? You know, and you might say, is this the Lord? Is it not the Lord? What you need to do is the Bible says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you get a vision, claim it in the name of Jesus. And if it is not the Lord, it's not going to happen. Just say, Lord, stop it if it's not you. But if it is you, confirm it and confirm it with the Bible. And you also have community who can confirm things that what you have seen or heard. And so believe the scriptures, but also it takes faith. Faith is substance of things not seen or heard. So what that really means is I believe that the Holy Spirit can work in various ways. Would you agree? For some of us, in our silence, but for some of us, there will be physical manifestations. And instead of freaking out, you say, that's the Lord working. Because God made us diverse. God made us different. And we need to be willing to be open to the works of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm sharing with you is in the coming weeks, as we look into encountering the Holy Spirit, some of you, if you're open, will have some physical manifestations. Or some of you, if you're open, will not have physical manifestations, but you'll be closer to the Lord. For some reason, God has drawn you close with the Lord. And God will also work in bringing forth a transformational approach in your life, where your life will never be the same. You know, when I married Esther, I told her, if you ever speak in tongues, I'm running out on the relationship. Don't ever speak in it. Because I didn't believe in this kind of things when I married her, because she was a Y-womer, without any man, but youth with a mission. She was really into praying into tongues, and she was very respectful. Biblically, she would never pray publicly. So by the way, if you speak in tongues, do not pray publicly. And if it is done in public, what does the Bible say? Interpretation. Amen? So be very biblical. You could pray to yourself silently in tongues, but be respectful of others who don't. And what's interesting is my experience over the time, I felt so empty that I had to go to some revival meetings. I remember one revival meeting in Pasadena where people were acting really weird. Some people were falling. Some people were shaking. Some people were very silent. And the voice of the Lord was telling me, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the way I work. And then on the way back home, all of a sudden I started speaking in tongues. I said, what is this? And I told my wife, hey, you can speak in tongues too. And let's do it together as long as we're private about it. You know, this is how God works. And so what I'm trying to encourage you is the unusual, the unexpected is the Lord. The illogical can be the Lord. The logical can be the Lord. And so how do I apply this? I believe in what we call experiential application. And we're going to talk more of that next week. But today, what I want us to do is to be open and spend this time of silence before the Lord, like the Quakers did, and say, Lord, come in my presence. And we're open to you, Holy Spirit. Show up and see what he does. And after we do that exercise, ask the Lord, is there anything in my heart that you want to convict me of? Is there any way you want to show me you're there? Now, if you're just seeking experience, sometimes the Lord doesn't work. You just want to be open. Whatever ways he can bring you closer to the Lord, then the Lord will express himself and allow the Holy Spirit to come. And the reason why we want to start this process is the ultimate goal of the work of the Holy Spirit is not to make you more spiritual, but you can yield the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I'm more loving, I'm more joyful, I'm more peaceable, I'm more self-controlled. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. And that's what we want to be. He wrote the Bible, which seems to be logical to us, right? But he also expresses himself in a very supernatural way, and we're open. And so my question is, will you be open?